Hello, and welcome back to That's Not How the Story Goes When I Tell It. Today we're going to get into the leaders on both sides, and by leaders I mean military leaders, not just the political leaders. We're going to look at the generals on both sides. We're going to look at the first real battles where it's not just shooting at a fort, but actually shooting at each other. Let's get started. Okay, in the north, we have at least in my notes, we have a slightly different version kind of the generals than we're going to have in the south. And the way I explain this in class is, for the north, there's so much change at the top that we go through and list the leaders based on who is in charge of the entire army when. For the south, we really have some stability and leadership, and we're just going to look at who are the most known or the generals that we're going to talk about the most. In the north, we start out with a guy named Winfield Scott. We talked about he's kind of old-fashioned. Winfield Scott is the first one, and he's quickly replaced with a guy named Irwin McDowell. After Irwin McDowell, we get George McClellan, a handsome guy who thinks very much of himself. There's a lot of people that really like George McClellan, but nobody likes George McClellan more than George McClellan. We then get Ambrose Burnside, Joseph Hooker, George Meade, George McClellan again, and then Ulysses S. Grant. For the South, we end up with Stonewall Jackson, or Thomas Jackson. We have James Longstreet, we have Nathan Bedford Forrest, we have George Pickett, we have James Ewell Brown Stewart, Jeb Stuart, and we have Robert E. Lee. The economics of the North and South, the things that I really focused on were going to be the inflation that happens in the South. We have the fact that taxes and tariffs really, really work for the North. They don't work so much for the South because the South isn't able to move their stuff around like their cotton. With the naval blockade, the cotton doesn't get moved, so they don't really collect any money off of tariffs. Paper money in the South is basically worthless because of inflation after a little bit, and inflation runs rampant. We also had the fact that the Union builds more factories. They kind of modernize. We get millionaires in the North, whereas the South just relies on cotton and rides it all the way into the ground. As far as in foreign lands, like in Europe, the leaders of a lot of foreign countries, especially European countries, they're really going to support the Confederate States. However, the people in those countries are not. And the people in those countries are going to let the leaders of those countries know about it. Because of that, the leaders in Europe aren't going to be able to help the Confederate States. We also start getting freed blacks that end up starting to join in on the armies on both sides. You have several things like the poster that we looked at in class that is trying to recruit black regiments. The African American units are going to be key, especially almost like a publicity thing, a public relations thing, showing former slaves or newly, like really newly freed slaves, hey, I can do something. I can fight against this awful, awful way of life. We have the first Battle of Bull Run. Lincoln decides something has to happen. So he sends Winfield Scott, tries to get him out to lead this army. It ends up being Irwin McDowell who leads the army out. And people, normal people, families, follow the army out. As Bull Run is about 30 miles southwest-ish, 30 miles-ish southwest of Washington, D.C. And when they get there, they fight against Stonewall Jackson, one of the greatest military minds in U.S. history. And Stonewall Jackson mops the floor with McDowell's troops. This actually ends up being a bad thing because the South gets big-headed. People stop trying to join because they say they don't need us. I mean, you saw how awesome they did. They don't need any extra people. In the North, they see this and they say, wow, this is something we need to fix. We need to be a lot better. By the way, those people that followed the army out, they end up setting up picnics and things like that, watching the battle. And then as the North retreats after this battle, they run right through all of the picnickers that are sitting there watching the battle happen. We then get to the battles of Fort Henry and Fort Donelson. Ulysses S. Grant is going to lead some troops, and basically this gives a buffer zone. These are two forts that are on the Tennessee and the Cumberland Rivers. They're in Tennessee, and it gives some buffer room for northern-controlled territory in the south. So it's not just the line between, like, Tennessee and Kentucky is where slavery stops or where the north and south stops. It gives some room between Kentucky and where the south is controlling, and it gives Kentucky some breathing room. It really helps Kentucky convince Kentucky to stay in the Union. The Peninsular Campaign. George McClellan is now put in charge after Irwin McDowell is promoted and then gotten rid of. George McClellan decides that whenever he goes to attack Richmond, like Lincoln told him to, he needed extra troops. He kind of tries to go around by the coast and sneak in through a peninsula. About the time he is going to attack Lee, the troops that he gets from Lincoln get diverted to Washington, D.C. because Stonewall Jackson is moving, it looks like, toward D.C. So when McClellan actually goes to attack Richmond, he has far fewer troops than he originally thought he would, and therefore does not do well at all. Jeb Stuart's cavalry is going to ride circles, literally, around McClellan's army. The last one we're going to talk about today is the Seven Days Battle. This happens in June, July of 1862. Robert E. Lee and his Confederate army is going to push McClellan out. McClellan is going to fall back. He's going to fall all the way back to the sea, and they're going to give up the Peninsular Campaign. And Lincoln is going to say, I'm done. He's going to get rid of McClellan, and he's going to move on to a guy named Ambrose Burnside. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Tune in for the next episode when we continue in these some of these early battles of the Civil War.